AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your pre-Thanksgiving Wednesday. Matt, Eric, Brett. Hey, guys. Brett's in here with us today.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Is it Brett, what do you got planned for Thanksgiving?
Going over to my parents tomorrow for lunch, and then we're also visiting with my grandmother before then as well. So busy day.
How many meals? So two?
We're not actually eating Thanksgiving dinner with my grandma because she's in a nursing home and really, you know, eat solid food. So we're just going over there seeing her.
Okay.
And then, yep.
All right.
And then we're actually having the dinner once I head over to my parents' place.
How about you, Eric? What are you up to this tomorrow?
I'm headed over to the dreaded Wisconsin to visit with my uncle and the rest of my dad's side of the family.
Oh, what starts fights faster, politics or Green Bay Packers Vikings?
Ooh, I don't know. Probably favorite serial killer.
So, anyone using anyone else's skin as a mask lately around here? All right.
And you said, Eric, you're the crazy uncle in the family, right?
Probably, if you took a poll.
This from the same state where there's the bars right next to the church on Sunday. All right, so I've been cooking all day because I got it at my place. I got Terry Zila, the chef, is coming over to my house.
That's Wait, is he going to cook for you?
No, I'm cooking for him, which is putting a heck of a lot more pressure on me. I'm going to screw this up.
Bullets all day, thinking, oh,
I went. I decided I needed to take a break, so I went to the Mall of America. There was no one there, by the way, this morning because I mean, it was the snow kept everyone away. So I went in there and it was nice to get a little bit of that holiday feel and kind of get away from it and be able to walk in that place because I probably won't go into there again until after the holidays are over because that place gets nutsoid.
Have they set up the decorations?
Yeah, they have. They got the Santa is great.
Oh, really? He's already there.
He is. If you go up on the what would be the airport side of the Mall America, okay, so you're on the IKEA side. If you go down that long concourse, they have him set up down there, and you go up in the second level, you go down, you're like, I'm trying to tell my kids who are 18, 15, and 12, let's go see Santa. And they're like, no, and I'm like, look, and it's like, that's Santa down there. They got all the stuff.
18, 15, and 12. That's a tough sell.
Just, what happened to them? They were once vibrant, young, happy children, and then now look at them. But I did the green bean casserole. I've done the butternut squash. I got to do mashed potatoes tonight. I think I got a gift for myself, a Thanksgiving gift, because it is the Thanksgiving season. Although us liberals don't want to call it Thanksgiving anymore.
Right.
Oh, the war on Thanksgiving is real. Let's call it Thanksgiving. I got the WKRP in Cincinnati complete series with the one that has all the music in there. Turkey drop. Got to do the. I'm going to show the kids the full episode of the turkey drop. You've seen that one, right, Eric?
I don't think I have. No.
You've never seen the WKRP in Cincinnati episode, the Thanksgiving episode.
No.
Oh, go to YouTube and it is one of the greatest moments ever of sitcom television. It's hilarious. So I'll get that. Probably get Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is one of the very few Thanksgiving movies out. Which is, you have to wait a few years of that that scene in the airport in St. Louis where there's a little swearing that goes on in that one scene. You gotta wait a little bit before that. But I always love Michael McKean as the Illinois State Trooper at the end of that when they're looking at the car. Said, "Do you really think this vehicle is roadworthy?" yes, I do. Surprising.
Do you know how fast you're going? Well, no, I can't really tell, no, officer.
Most of the stuff's melted off. Oh, I love that movie. So we are not going to be here. And this is the reason why Brett's here. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving to Eric. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. From everyone here at AM 950, drive safe. Have a wonderful time. Try not to let that crazy conservative uncle or grandfather or whatever ruin your holiday. Enjoy it. What's going to ruin your holiday is the Detroit-Chicago game. Trust me, that's going to be a nightmare. But we are not going to be live here the next 2 days. We actually have a special forum that's coming up that's Democracy Now! Aired, right?
Yeah, Democracy Now! Put this on a while ago. It's a three-hour forum with all of the Democratic – well, not all of them. It's several of the Democratic candidates about environmental justice. So basically we'll be playing that back during the 3 and 4 p.m. hours, both on Thanksgiving and on Friday.
All right. Well, and that's so there it goes. It's going to be both shows tomorrow and on Friday. Enjoy that here. We are back with live shows on Monday. Brett, happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Thanks. No pressure with Terry Zila coming in.
I am. I know he'll like the pies because I actually bought two of his pies for this. So I know he's going to like the pies. But, you know, how was that? I mean, because everything I have is just drenched in butter and fat. And it's not, you know, it's not artesian. It's just blunt Thanksgiving gold. I mean, the most artesian thing I do is probably the cranberry sauce, which I just make a fresh one, which is real simple. Just a cup of sugar, water, a little orange peel, cranberries, done. Let it set. That's about it. I'm really going to be that nightmarish episode, you know, that they're going to talk about forever. Then I went over to this one house on Thanksgiving. I'll give you a full update on that when I get back on Monday.
No grape salad, though, right?
No grape salad. God, for dear. I love my kids. Come on. I mean, they don't want to go see Santa, but I love my children. Let's make sure
all right.
Put that in perspective. Thanks, Brett.
All right.
952. Talk to you later. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Reminder, Stein is going to be coming up here. A little bit later on, we'll get the Steiner coming on in here. We got a few things we definitely have to chat with him about. I do want to start off with what just very sad news this morning. Five people died early Wednesday in a fire on the 14th floor of the Minneapolis public housing high rise. Three others were hospitalized, authorities said. The three alarm blaze in the Cedar Riverside neighborhood broke out about 4 a.m. The 25-story building on the 600 block of Cedar Avenue South near downtown Minneapolis. It was extinguished within 30 minutes. Nice job, fire department. You guys, that was a tough one. That's kind of one of those ones that's scary. And I think very tragic, five people passing away. But the first thing I think about is a high rise, a building, you know, that could have been a lot worse. So nice job, fire department. Fire Chief John Frutell said about 10 hours after the fire began that the investigators are looking at initially is going to be as accidental. They see enough that could be the cause. Any further determination is going to take some time to sort out. It was a very tragic night at the beginning of the holiday weekend, Frutell said earlier during a pre-dawn news conference briefing outside the complex. The alarm company that monitors the building alerted the fire department, and crews arrived to find flames shooting out of the windows on the 14th floor. They encountered heavy smoke as they got on the floor to search for the residents. The 191-unit building for low-income clients is operated by the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority and is at full capacity. Most units have either one or two adult residents, said Agency Communications Director Jeff Horwich. Many of them are Somali descent with a smaller number of Korean background. Horwich said relatives identified three of the women who had passed away already. Just very tragic story, very sad story. All our best to the families there. And once again, if I can say, a very great job by the fire department because, I mean, I just watched over the 9/11 memorial. I rewatched that the French filmmakers, the video from the French filmmakers, where they were riding with, they were just doing a day in the life of the New York Police Department. They ended up being there in 9/11. And the thought when you're walking into that building, I've got to climb all these stairs and, you know, it's, you know, and then you've got to fight the fire. That's, it's an unbelievable, you know, thing to look at a building like that. And you have to say to yourself, I have to go up there and do this vertically. That is, once again, all my best and a wonderful job there, fire department. That was, one of those things that definitely is the above and beyond on that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I also want to make sure to remind everyone, we do have, with snow emergencies, one of the snow that came through last night, I think they were saying it was around 8 to 9 inches, depending on where you're on the metro. Well, it's interesting because I looked at the totals and like four blocks from my house in one direction, it was 6 inches. And four blocks from my house in the other direction, it was labeled at like 10 inches. So someone's lying because it wasn't that much of a variance. When we used to do Iowa weather reports, when I worked down in Iowa, and it was always hilarious to do weather. Like we'd come on in the morning and be like, well, we got, you know, looks like the National Weather Service has said we got 3 inches of snow. And without a doubt, within 5 seconds of me saying 3 inches of snow, you get this guy calling up. It's like, what are you talking about? In my backyard, I got 4 feet of snow. And you're like, oh, for God's sakes. This one guy every single time, would call up every storm. My rain gauge says 19 inches. You know, my wind speedometer said it was 194 mile an hour winds. It was like Mars. And I finally, at one point, said to the guy when he called in and he did this, it was like, you know, 3 inches of snow. And he was like, it was 10 inches of my yard. I am sorry you are living on the precipice of hell. Wherever your house is, it is bad. But can I just say for the record, you are the only person that is having these readings. So either you are really bad at these readings, or you really, have you made a bad deal with the devil or something like that?
Did he build his house in a canyon? You know, is it coming in?
Well, it can, the seventh circle of hell or something like that, which, you know, I could believe might be in Iowa. You know, as a guy that's been down there a little time, great pork chops, but, man, there are some parts of that state which are Steve King. Let me just say it, Steve King. Okay. No, just, it was like 8 inches. And I got to tell you, can I say this? From the get-go, this state looks a freaking heck of a lot better with a coating of snow on the ground in winter. This is not a pretty place without snow on the ground in winter. So it looks 1,000 times better out there. I'll say that. Most of the roads, you still got some slippery spots out there. Some of the traffic areas, yeah, you might see a little bit of a slowdown out there. Most of the roads, once again, they've got out there and they got the roads cleared on off. There was some tougher spots earlier. Like I said, when I went out to the Mall of America about 10, most of the roads still had some of that caked on, thick, you know, rolled over quite a bit ice, and that was causing some problems. I did see one or two accidents this morning, but things are getting better out there. Just remember your driving skills. Remember you need to go slower, for goodness sakes. Take your time. The good news is through Thanksgiving, at least, it looks like we're going to have pretty good conditions. If you're driving ahead, if you're heading out into Wisconsin, especially up in the northern half of Wisconsin, or if you're heading in towards Iowa to Nebraska, find out what you're heading into. We say that every time we have one of these driving holidays. Find out what you're heading into. Get yourself an idea. Give yourself the time that you need and drive safe. Be back here when we do reconvene the live shows on Monday. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Stein, once again, coming up here at the bottom of the hour when we do come on back. Yeah, you can paint it any way you want to. You're still taking pictures of other people's kids. We'll talk about that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman for Continental Diamond. The experts at Continental Diamond have years of industry experience and know all the latest trends. And this holiday season, they can help you find that timeless, unforgettable gift, no matter your budget. Find out why the readers of Minnesota Bride magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler in the Twin Cities for the last 10 years. Continental Diamond, adjacent to the west end of St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com. That's Continental Diamond for the perfect holiday gift. Continental Diamond and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's historical idealist is Irene Morgan, who in 1944 refused to give up her seat in the bus and later got the U.S. Supreme Court to find in her favor. The big interview is with Gene Weingarten, author of a book about a day in the life of America, and I'm in that book. In my C block, I share about hearing from an audience member after a talk in Mankato, Minnesota. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950.
This Black Friday, you'll be happy for the holidays with help from the Park Tavern. On Black Friday, the 29th, take a rest and food break from shopping at the Park Tavern and take advantage of the best deal of the Friday. Buy a $100 Park Tavern gift card and Park Tavern will give you an additional $50 gift card for free. This deal runs until the end of December. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park and online at parktavern.net, your best Black Friday deal is waiting for you at the Park Tavern.
Stop in at Next Chapter Booksellers for your holiday shopping. Let their staff help you find the perfect book for the book lover in your life. Or get a gift card from Next Chapter Booksellers, the largest locally owned independent bookstore in St. Paul. Stop in Sunday, December 1st from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for a meet and greet with Tanya Zabinski, author of Peace, Love, Action. Next Chapter Booksellers is located at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul. Or find them online at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Wendy, great news.
What's the great news, Robert?
Hey, we're on Wednesdays now at 5 p.m.
That's great. What's the name of the show?
Pilot's Playhouse? I don't know.
Pilot's Playhouse? That's terrible.
That is terrible. Hey, everyone should listen in and see what we come up with.
So what's the new show about?
Well, we'll have local and national news and guests that you don't hear anywhere else.
Wednesdays at 5.
See you then.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. A bit of a, I definitely would call it a good story. Well, at least a justice story. I don't know if it's good. A federal jury Tuesday found St. Paul police officer Brett Polkowicz guilty of repeatedly kicking an innocent bystander in the chest, causing serious injuries while a K-9 unit mauled the man's leg. Polkowicz, 32, was indicted in January on one count of deprivation of rights under the color of law in connection to the 2016 incident, which left Frank Baker, an unarmed 52-year-old African-American man, with seven broken ribs and two collapsed lungs. We talk about this stuff. It's in my mind, it has to be a federal jury to do it, because once again, in the state of Minnesota, I really do honestly think that this guy probably would not have been found guilty in a non-federal jury trial, where because they have the "I was scared" defense, and that applies in this case. And this was written by Republicans that there should be no consequences. There is literally almost impossible for you to be held accountable as a police officer in Minnesota, unless you're black. If you're a black police officer, guarantee you, you're probably going to be held accountable for a crime, especially if you shoot a white woman. But if you're a white cop, you're not held accountable, because you can, in the state of Minnesota, thanks to Republicans and how they've written the law, you can be drunk as a skunk off duty at a bar, say, "I can't stay home, I'm going to shoot you." And you can drive home drunk, get your gun, drive drunk back to the bar, get in there, blow the guy away, and all you have to go into a court with say, "I was scared. I was scared. And I was scared." You mean you can literally commit murder. And so it's rare when you see a case where there seems to be justice. What a concept. And this whole idea of his defense was, "Well, he was a much dangerous man." Okay, dude, I have never had a broken rib. I have had friends who have had broken ribs. They drop like a fly. You broke how many of this guy's ribs? And there were two collapsed lungs. This guy wasn't a threat after the first, with the dog on him, he wasn't a threat. It'll be interesting to see what the case may be, but I guarantee you this, it'll be a civil trial. So hopefully this guy can get somewhat of his life back online, because I can't even comprehend how you come back for something like that. So, an interesting ruling there. In 2016, City Pages is bringing up this these people in Bloomington who like to view the kids' playground at an Islamic center. Attorney Larry Frost addressed the Bloomington City Council in 2016. The neighborhood, he said, was fed up with the nearby Dar al-Farouk Islamic Center. There are too many people and too many cars coming and going. Dude, it's Bloomington. The same city that's got the Mall of America in it. All of a sudden, you're noticing the people. Okay. I'm just observation. "I don't know if this is true of Somali," said Frost, who had served in Egypt as an army recruit. "I'm familiar with Arabs, but in Egypt, the drivers ignore the traffic law all the time. Kind of the cultural thing, but my neighbors are saying they're driving through there faster than 25 miles an hour." Well, I mean, bringing it up is, I mean, if any people are driving fast through neighborhoods, bring it up with the police and, they'll address it. Maybe they'll put up an extra cop out there. Maybe they'll put up a speed trap. That's kind of how you do things. Or, if you get a consistent problem, like in Minneapolis, they put up those big rolling speed bumps. That slows you down pretty quick, one way or the other. City officials didn't really know what to do with that. They weren't exactly sure what Frost was presenting. Petitions need signatures, and Frost had none. They dismissed it on procedural grounds. The mayor and city managers at the time both told City Pages they were aware of complaints, but said they'd come from just a few neighbors. It includes Bloomington grandmother Sally Ness, one of the people behind Frost's petition. according to court documents. Ness has been in the neighborhood's point person for complaints about the mosque, the adjoining charter school, Success Academy, and the city-owned Smith Park, which the school uses during recess. According to the complaint filed in Minnesota District Court earlier this month, and Ness's own frequent testimony, the mosque had grossly underrepresented the level of activity it would bring to the site when it opened in 2011. Court documents say neighbors were concerned about traffic, parking overflow, noise from basketball sessions late into the night, overflowing trash, and excessive. Okay, if it's overflowing trash, that's the city of Bloomington. That's their, it's the park, it's their excessive use of public facilities, excessive use. Yeah. He has been on the damn swing for 3 hours. 3 hours on that swing. That's excessive use of public property. Is he having fun on the swing? Since he must like the swing. More power to him. Excessive use of public facilities, including Smith Park. The use of Smith Park by Success Academy has severely limited, if not prohibited, outright the public's use of the park, the complaint says. So why can't the public? Now, I want to stop right there. Okay, part of the problem is these people are in the park taking photographs of these kids trying to, or taking, they say they're taking photographs of the activity, but they're taking photos of the kids, which is creepy, dude. That is just, what are you doing? You're taking.
Also, what is it evidence of? Like, yeah, this school right next to the park that says it uses the park, they're using it during recess.
And if you're saying you can't use the park, well, then how are you in the park taking the photographs anyway? Yeah. There's a little hole in your problem. Okay, I want to just say this. If you are in a public park and you're taking pictures of people's kids, regardless of what you're trying to do, let's just say you call up, Geek Squad or something like that, comes to your house, and they go and they start trying to figure out your computer, and they all of a sudden pull up your photo file, and it's a bunch of people, and you're a white person, and there's a bunch of pictures of African-American kids who are clearly not your kids. That are there, they're going to report you to the police, dude, under suspicious activity. You may think it's just, I just don't think you guys are stepping back and realizing what you're really doing here. Because and once again, I've said this about the Bloomington Police and Bloomington Police. If this was on the west side of your district, if this was over by Highland Park and people were out there, regardless of color, taking photographs of kids in parks, I guarantee you, you would have a very different reaction to this than that. You would have squads parked there 24/7 preventing people from taking photos of kids if it was on the wealthy white side of your town. Let's just call it what it is. But it's African-American kids, Somali kids, by a mosque. Maybe you should be putting a patrol out there and saying, you know, if taking photos of kids is wrong in public parks, well, then, you know, maybe you should have a standard. All right. I'm just saying. We can use the park the same time as the kids and from the mosque to the charter school. Ness's complaint doesn't say why can't they say it. They have no idea why they can't do that. In an attempt to prove her point, Ness has taken it upon herself to document the activity at the site that includes maintaining a public blog and Facebook page about the Success Academy controversy, complete with photos and videos of street traffic and kids being dropped off at school. Her surveillance has not gone unnoticed. Students are not as excited to be outside they used to be, said Success Academy teacher Mariah Minkle, said to City Pages in a previous interview. Various run-ins with strangers watching students from across the street have left kids wary, as they should be. According to the complaint, Bloomington police have warned Ness her filming makes people uncomfortable and could lead to charges of harassment. The same goes for the city's no filming rule, which pointedly prohibits people from filming or photographing random kids in city parks without parents' permission. Be that as it may, Ness and her attorneys, William Mormon and of Mormon, Cardall, and Erickson, argue she was fully within her constitutional rights to document what's going on, to take photos of other people's kids, and to challenge the activity at the mosque, school, and park. Ness believes her quest has been jeopardized her safety. In one incident cited in court documents, city officials asked her to state her address for the records before she offered public comments. Ness refused. Oh, let me get this right. So you want to maintain anonymity, but you yourself are going over when people are trying to go to school and photographing their kids. Nessa suing the city, Hennepin County attorney, and police officers who responded to harassment complaints about her filming children, saying they infringed upon her right to free speech. She wants the state's current harassment statute and the city's new rules about filming strangers' children ruled unconstitutional, but is also seeking... You can't yell fire in a movie theater. You can't. You're good luck on this. I have a hard time believing they're going to say, yep, it's constitutional to start photographing kids. Because, I mean, if you do this, at the Mall of America, you had a guy putting cameras into changing rooms. And, okay, it's a different situation because it's private property versus public property. But if you say people can start taking random pictures of people, you're going to start opening up a much bigger mess. Okay, I understand. You're frustrated. You're upset. Your motivations are... Now, I think we all see what your motivations are. But stop taking pictures of other people's kids. Come on. I mean, it's and like I said, and I guess maybe I'm harsher on Bloomington than I should be, because it sounds like they are trying to address this. But at the same time, I guarantee you this, if this woman was out taking photographs over by Highland Park on the west side of Bloomington, that they would not be, you know, dilly-dallying around with this. And I think that they're so convinced of their platform and their point, I don't think they see what exactly they're doing. Because like I said, if I was just to go into your house and I saw, oh, here are all the photographs I've been taking from the public park of the kids over at the school, the first thing I would be doing is, oh, I've got to call the cops on you because, you know, you're taking pictures of other people's kids.
The thing that jumps out to me is that I don't think she sees them as kids.
I don't know.
She sees them as threats.
It seems like that. It definitely seems like that. She definitely, there's. Let's just say there's definitely a certain color of the prism that she is looking at here. It seems, one part of the thing. That's what it seems like. That's what it at least seems like. So there's that. It's not a kid out there trying to play on a swing. It is. Dun, dun, dun. Well, I want to see the Supreme. I don't think the Minnesota Supreme Court's going
to
rule.
Yeah, I'd love to see your argument.
You know, guys, you can take any pictures of anyone's kids. You know, yeah, good luck with that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. When we do return, Stein joins us. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Your wait is over, Minnesota. The appliance specialists at Warner's Deli are serving up Black Friday appliance savings to satisfy the savviest shopper. Save hundreds on top-rated heavy-duty laundry pairs, then save more with free delivery, basic installation, and haul-away. Done right by specialists you can trust. Get guaranteed unbeatable savings on select dishwashers, then save more with free installation from our trusted specialists. These and hundreds more Black Friday savings from the specialists, Minnesota's own Warner's Deli.
Black Friday isn't just one day for Rudy Luther Toyota. It's all November long. Through November 30th, Rudy Luther Toyota has Black Friday special clearance pricing on all 2019 models. One of my favorite Toyotas is the RAV4. Behind the sharp style is the best off-road vehicle I've ever driven. Plus, the RAV4 hugs the city with intuitive comfort and safety. Rudy Luther has over 100 2019 RAV4s available through November. Qualified buyers can get 0.9% financing. Black Friday lasts all November at Rudy Luther Toyota. Highways 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. It's been great working with so many of the passionate AM 950 listeners over the years. We have realized how important AM 950 is to the community. I want to see AM 950 continue to grow and continue to thrive into the future. To help continue to grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to do your part by liking and sharing the content on AM 950 social media platforms.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Ryan has always told me the best time to get work done is during the the colder months of the year because demand is much lower. He is backing that up again by offering 30% off labor on windows and siding from now until the end of December. Call Snap Construction now to get 30% off labor on windows and siding. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Trust the company AM950 trusts, Snap Construction, arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window contractor in the metro area. Get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 30. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 13. Thanksgiving Thursday, partly cloudy with a high around 28. And Friday, rain and snow with a high near 34.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Reminder, tonight they got the Friends and Family Party over at the Park Tavern from 9 until 1, I believe. They're going to have the bowling, the Cosmic Bowling, a DJ, a pizza buffet. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to have some fun with that because I'm looking to unwind a little bit before a busy day tomorrow. Stop on by the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, and online at parktavern.net. Jeff Steins, our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul. Great gift-giving items. Great gift-getting items over at Next Chapter Books. Also, totallyiowa.com. He joins us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where he produces the Iowa Politics Report. Hi, Jeff.
Matthew, happy Thanksgiving. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Where are you doing? Where are you going for Thanksgiving?
You know, just maybe to a convenience store, warm up a burrito.
Is it a turkey burrito? There.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, how could you not? No, it is very underwhelming. I hope your plans are more scintillating.
Well, I've worked in Iowa radio, and the way usually it goes is you get one of them off. You can get Thanksgiving, Christmas, or New Year's off. And because we had a guy, and you remember BJ Shaven, who was their sports guy.
Of course.
He always wanted New Year's off, which was great, because then he would, you know, then me and Trent, when we worked down there, we'd always every year switch off. I'll take Christmas this year, you have Thanksgiving this year, and then the next year we'd reverse it. So we generally would get it off, but there's a lot of times I was working down there. So I hope you do have a good shift if that's where you're at.
Well, I'm a little confused. What do you mean you get a holiday off?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to give you false hope. All right.
Yeah. Because that dog hunted, my friend. There's I'll be right here.
There's a bright light to the north. okay, I want to talk. Let's start off with the polling numbers on impeachment, the pro impeachment and against impeachment, because it's been interesting. I've been watching 538. They basically break them down. They take all the polls, they combine them together. And we really did get down where the support for impeachment was less than a point more than the people against impeachment. So it really was a 50, almost a, you know, half the people who responded one way or the other were for it and against it. But it was a very interesting change happened on any polling that happened pretty much after Wednesday and Sondland's testimony. Which was that now it's up to 50% of the population. I mean, it shot up very quickly because I think the Sondland testimony and especially then the testimony the next day afterwards really did a lot of damage to the idea that should this even be investigated under impeachment? And your thoughts on that? Because I mean, it's topped out. It seems like at 50, but it now is no longer that 1 point. It's about a 7 point difference with more people in favor of impeachment than against.
And the question is that sustainable?
Yeah.
Or will it be, here's Thanksgiving. You know, people stopped at the Quick Star and got their turkey burrito, and so now they're thinking of other things. Can the momentum be sustained? That's one of the things we're having. I mean, it's not the fault of those running the impeachment inquiry that the calendar is what it is. But the worst thing you could have is to have Thanksgiving run into Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You would want to have this happen, the testimony. You want to get the articles out there. You want to be able to vote on it. You want to go boom, boom, boom. But instead, you have a momentum blunter in Thanksgiving. Then you come back, and can you actually get a vote to impeach before Christmas? Don't forget, we've got a budget issue again. And then you're going to have the Christmas and New Year's holidays before you even have to think about a trial in the Senate. So, I mean, it's one of these things where the momentum needs to be sustained, and that is going to be especially difficult when Congress as a whole is out of town And when Congress is out of town, it's pretty silent from that wing of the government. But any president, and particularly this one, has the ability to do any little thing in 140 characters, and all of a sudden the news cycle is hijacked. And so that is literally something that is going to make it more difficult for the Democrats to maintain the momentum.
You and I have talked about that Trump, who is definitely playing checkers, needs, you know, the people around him need to be more playing chess. And what I mean, and I'm not, this is not about him trying to get off, but I mean, he is at a point right now where the investigators are right outside his personal circle. And then unless he finds a sacrificial lamb, that he basically, it's only a matter of time before they get into and get him directly. We've talked about Giuliani. And there's a report today that now Giuliani pursued contracts with Ukrainian officials worth hundreds of thousands of dollars while simultaneously seeking political dirt on former Vice President Joe Biden for Trump's benefit. You got Devin Nunes now and this whole debacle with him in regards to him going to Vienna and meeting with this disgraced prosecutor from the Ukraine to get dirt. I mean, the guy that's sitting up here on the impeachment hearings and in putting out these conspiracy theories, he himself was actually part of the collection plan of data. You've got some sacrificial lambs here. And today, Trump actually did float the idea that was coming out for the first time that Giuliani was not working under his orders. And that is, and if you're Trump, I mean, you might like Rudy Giuliani, but Rudy Giuliani is about the only person right now that's left that you could potentially throw this all on.
And he certainly did, you say, because there were questions about, well, did Mr. Giuliani, is your personal attorney? Yes, he is. Well, did he do X, Y, and Z? And the president said, I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I don't know what Rudy was doing. Here is the pattern, okay? And it doesn't mean that it was illegal. Just the mere fact that he said, well, you'd have to ask Rudy. This is how Michael Cohen dealt with the president, Matt. Mm-hmm. The president claimed to not know what was happening because Michael Cohen, when he was his personal attorney, fixed things. How much of this sounds like Rudy being Trump's fixer? I mean, to me, the pattern is unmistakable. The president, in this case, vents about things that he wants to see happen in a perfect world. Not ordering anybody, just having a conversation. It makes it very clear, though, how he feels. And what then happens? Minions go and make it happen, but provide him the plausible deniability to say, well, no, he didn't know what I was doing in particular or specifically. I was not under his orders, etc. Mm-hmm. That's what they think they're doing, and it's going to fold by being too clever by half. But to me, doesn't this just sound like Trump got himself another New York lawyer to fix things?
And the problem with Cohen was that Cohen got caught himself. And Giuliani, and this is the problem that they have with Giuliani. Giuliani's as crooked as the day is long. I mean, he really is. I mean, he's got these two guys in Manhattan right now in jail who are ready to flip on him in a heartbeat. Now you got this documentation about the Ukrainian deal that, you know, he was working side deals in the Ukraine. You know, granted, it might not play out for the Democrats like they want on an impeachment, but at the same time, eventually, probably after the election, if Trump does lose, Giuliani, this comes on out. He just basically, you know, Trump's gone or he's moved away or he's basically there. People are saying, well, that's old news. Don't even worry about it. But needless to say, it's a way out for Trump, not the most graceful way out, but it's a way that if Giuliani, it could end up being another year or so before, you know, because of Giuliani's corruption, whether he does flip or not, if he ever did get to that point, could, you know, it'd be long after an impeachment trial would be long over.
Well, and to your point, and it's a very good one, Michael Cohen got tripped up because of his own greed that had to do with taxi medallions and all the rest of it. Yep. And he only got a sweeter deal than might otherwise have been the case on his own separate criminal wrongdoing by flipping on Trump. The difference is, and it's a smart point you make, the difference is Cohen got tripped up by his own problems. Now, is what you're talking about with Giuliani and these guys, is that all tied with Ukraine and back to the president? Or is it separate dealings that Rudy was doing, which in essence gave him, according to the president, some kind of authority or some kind of ability to make inroads. And that's why he was the designated fixer in this particular case. So with Cohen's, you did not have as direct a tie. You might with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to get anybody excited about, oh boy, you know, Giuliani's the linchpin. Because the other thing is, if in fact someone is as crooked as the day is long, to use your phrase, they didn't get that way by being sloppy all the time. In other words, you know, he may have insulated himself enough with these associates. So we don't know. It's not an automatic by any stretch of the imagination. But it is similar but different. I mean, there are a lot of similarities with the Cohen situation if you're trying to make a connection with how Trump is acting. The distinction, though, is that Cohen had different little circles going on,
mm-hmm.
and he got tripped up, and Rudy's might be intersecting with the president, and that's what makes it all much more important to the current discussion about impeachment.
And with Trump, the one thing that's easier about Giuliani is you can shut him down by basically tell Fox, don't put him on the air. Don't interview him. And Giuliani himself might actually...
Well, that worked really well for Biden when Biden told everybody not to put Rudy on the air.
Well, but that's different because, let's face it, if you know, Trump can go 45 minutes of delusional nutbaggery on Fox and Friends in the morning. And yeah. And so they listen to him. And so if the White House said to him, okay, we need you to not put Rudy Giuliani on the air, they're not going to. And there goes a huge linchpin. I mean, Giuliani is the kind of guy, I think he's probably going to try to stay loyal to Trump, but at the end of the day, he loves the camera on him
as much as Trump
does. And I think that if Trump can somehow, I mean, it's like I said, we're talking, he has to play more of a chess game if he's going to get out of this, because he's got to basically get Giuliani off the air, throw everything on Giuliani or Devin Nunes. Let's briefly bring this in, because
let me finish up one thing on Giuliani to your point.
Okay.
Rudy can tend to get himself in trouble by talking. Himself in trouble.
Yes.
So
yes, he can.
Realistically, you know, if you're the White House, do you just let him prattle on and then you can disassociate yourself without putting out the order of silence? I mean, that's a possibility. But go ahead on Nunes.
Well, and as long as he basically doesn't throw, oh, yeah, when Trump and I were talking about Ukraine, you know, as long as he doesn't do that, I mean, he might be able to. Nunes, this is a guy I think that, you know, Trump might have to throw into the bus too, because now you've got him in Vienna trying to get dirt on the Bidens. And I mean, it reminds me so much of when Newt Gingrich was doing the Clinton impeachment at the same time of having affairs against his own wife, talking about the moral repugnant nature of Clinton sleeping outside of his marriage as he himself was doing so. You know, you've got this case now where he himself is talking about these conspiracy theories. Well, he himself was looking for the conspiracy theory dirt, and his denials, which aren't denials in any capacity, they only make this guy look worse at this point.
I am just struck by the fact that what in the blazes is Nunes doing going over there?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, at the same time, they're talking about Adam Schiff doing this, that, and the other. Okay. It's kind of like, this is just rarefied air in which I don't operate. I just don't understand it. And again, in terms of trying to deny such things, you're a sitting U.S. congressman taking a foreign tour. Who paid for it? Don't you have a public schedule that you release?
How did
we not know about all of this? And that's the thing where it's just kind of like, how do you think you're going to be able to get away with any of it?
He submitted an expense report.
Sure.
He did. I mean,
well, sure, but and that's the point. I mean, how in the world do you do these things and think that either nobody's going to pay attention, nobody's going to care? I mean, did he think that we as citizens would look and say, well, you know, why don't you pad that expense form because you're such a great American. Thank God you did this, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I don't sense that. But there's this sense of self-importance that so many with power get. And it can be in your city hall, and it can be in your White House or Congress. I mean, it's not exclusive, but this idea of You come home and say, honey, I've got to go to Ukraine because it's ridiculous. Represent your district, for crying out loud.
And yeah, and that's, it just seems like his district doesn't even matter. And whether Fresno, California will vote him out, we'll have to remain, because he is going to run. But, you know, yeah, it's one of those districts where it's almost like it was, you know, cut and dry made for him. Let's take a break. When we come on back, court rules him again. He now has to testify. At least this court says he has to. And then also, can Trump get an honest, decent, positive reception outside of the South? I don't think he can. We'll talk about that as well. Just Dine joining us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
When you need legal assistance, let the Hennepin County Bar Association help you find the right attorney. They have professional, experienced referral counselors who can connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in a wide variety of areas, including employment, divorce, custody and support, bankruptcy, taxes, and much more. Take the stress out of finding a lawyer. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
Hey, AM 950 listeners, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design. I've got some really big news for you guys. We are relocating from St. Louis Park to Edina. That means we are currently holding a moving sale that is phenomenal. At least 40% off virtually everything in the showroom. And in these final couple weeks, take 20% off those already reduced prices. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard, for a little while longer.
Make gift-giving more meaningful this holiday season. Shop at Northern Sun, where you can find gifts and make a statement. From T-shirts to stickers, magnets, and posters, Northern Sun has products with messages of love, tolerance, hope, and resistance. We're purveyors of products that promote inclusion since 1979. Northern Sun, 2916 East Lake Street, Minneapolis, and at northernsun.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us on your pre-Thanksgiving Eve show. Jeff, the court's rule that Trump's lawyer McGahn cannot have White House, you know, protection, that he does have to testify in court. Now, granted, this is a lower court. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. But I still, to this date, have, and you and I have talked about this before, I just do not see a Supreme Court that has that many constitutionalists on there saying that, you know, the 60 people around the president have basically mass immunity as well. So I think eventually this is going to get to a point where, whether or not before the impeachment trial goes forward, but eventually we're going to have people in, you know, that have been prevented from being able to testify in the Congress testifying.
It is important for any president to be able to have free and open exchange with advisors in the Oval Office, etc., without fear that someone is going to issue a subpoena to find out everything that's said. That having been said, however, there are lines, and you cannot simply say everybody with a parking pass rises to this level.
Exactly. Okay? No, exactly.
So, I mean, we have to be very careful. And this is me as a licensed attorney speaking, too. You have to be very careful because the counsel I give a client, if it's truly an attorney-client relationship, and the material I get from a client, these things, I mean, the dynamic of the relationship under the law, under precedential standard, there's a reason why we give that kind of confidentiality, and we give it to very few relationships. So the president should be able to rely upon a certain bit of that. But again, when you, in essence, geofence the entire District of Columbia and include it, well, okay, now that's getting silly.
Well, and it is. And I, like I said, I still think, I mean, McGahn's going to be able to go in there. And before people think, oh, here comes another smoking gun, he'll say attorney-client privilege, and he'll be able, not really say that much. It does mean a lot different for, you know, guys like Wilbur Ross and, yeah. and Barr and stuff like that. That is a very different thing. But it still does, yeah, you can't have all the people that were involved with a crime, you know, basically, well, they can't testify, but everyone else does. Because let's face it, when we look at some of the stuff with the impeachment trial, just the stuff from the fringes, we pretty much have a pretty solid case against the guy.
Well, sure. You know, I mean, that's, yes. The trick on this is it's a stall game.
Yeah.
So much of this. And to your point, we are going down roads we've not traveled before. And so there does need to be some judicial interpretation, and that's going to take some time. So the question is, do you wait on impeachment, whether it's in the House or the Senate, until you get these determinations? Or do you move forward knowing that the court fight is going to continue and blow past the election? Mm-hmm. I mean, here's an interesting scenario that you can chew on with your turkey. What if the Democrats decide, look, the votes aren't there, so let's not push impeachment. Let's instead let the courts determine all of this. And if, in fact, it goes past November of 2020, so be it. Because either the voters will take care of impeachment, if you will, or if, in fact, he is reelected, you've got all your ducks in a row to take care of things early in a second term. Because I think we're all in agreement that right now, if nothing else changes, there are enough votes, depending on what people, congresswomen here from constituents over this break, there are enough votes to impeach in the House. There are not enough votes to convict in the Senate. And then to remove him from office, it's going to be up to the gang of 18 or however many there are, 42. I don't know. It keeps that changing. But is it, from a strategic sense, better to just lay in wait? Because you're only going to get one shot at the impeachment apple, one bite at that apple. Well, and so I just am saying, from a strategic point, it's something to think about.
Well, unless another crime that becomes undeniable comes to light, they can actually pursue it, of course.
Sure.
So that's the case. Melania goes to Baltimore, goes for an opiate summit, is raucously booed. I mean, it's gotten to the point that unless it's one of these hand-picked Trump rallies, or it's in the South, it's a football game, even though there was still plenty of protesting there. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of – it's tough for this guy. He can't do a lot of stuff like traditional presidents do.
Well, sure. And the thing is, it is always important to pick your spots, right? It was telling to me that you're now booing the first lady. I mean, she was getting a pass to some degree, kind of like, well, you know, you have your own little slice of hell being married to the guy. You know, they gave her a pass on a lot of things, right? So this is now taking it to a whole new level. You know, he's booed at the World Series. Okay, what percentage of people voted for him in the District of Columbia? 2? Okay, fine. Not a surprise. He is welcomed at a college football game in the South. Okay, again, big shock to your point. But now when it's not just him, okay, now that's starting, you know.
Yeah.
We don't see her much. You're going to see her far less because she's going to go home and go, I don't need this.
Yeah, the MMA match. He was booed at an MMA match, too, in Madison Square Garden. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, my friend. I will talk to you next week, okay?
Burritos for everybody.
Burritos. Hala. Enjoy. We'll, of course, get the Iowa politics report up a little bit later on. Once again, drive safe, everyone. Take your time. Get there. We got that, once again, that Great Democracy Now! Forum on the environment with presidential candidates. That's coming up the next 2 days on both shows. Enjoy that. We are back on a Monday. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Until then, see ya.